our guest on today's KHSU Magazine is Dr. Alexandra Service. She's the curator of the Fortuna Depot Museum, and she's here to tell us about her recently released book, co-authored with Susan O'Hara, titled The Mills of Humboldt County, 1910 to 1945, which explores Humboldt's early 20th century lumber industry. Welcome, Alex. Thanks for coming to the KHSU Magazine.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. So writing a book about the history of the logging industry in Humboldt County is a really big, important task. What inspired you to take on the early 20th century story of the Redwoods in Humboldt?
Well, this is the fourth book that Susan and I have co-authored together, and one of our previous books was on the history of the Northwestern Pacific Railroad up in this part of the state. And there was one of the early sort of book launch events that we were doing for that book. We were giving a talk, a presentation on it, and talking about the fact that it was the timber industry which really enabled the railroad to be economically viable because of the large amounts of lumber that were being shipped out on the railroad. And in the process of that talk, one of the audience members asked some questions about sort of the everyday realities, the actual nitty-gritty process of how do you chop down an enormous redwood tree and how do you really process it into shingles or bolts or planks, all that sort of thing, just the realities of how you turn this enormous tree into these marketable materials. And as Susan was answering that question and going into a lot of the details of the process, she really came to the realization that there are a huge number of people in Humboldt today who never worked in the timber industry, may not even have had relatives who worked in it. It's not something that they're deeply familiar with anymore, whereas a few decades ago, of course, everybody had connections with it. You either worked in the mill or the woods, or your dad or your brother or somebody worked in them. So it was a really deep and personal part of people's lives in the county in previous decades. But now, a lot of us are too young to remember that. A lot of us are people who've come into the county from elsewhere, and so it's not something that's part of the everyday reality for so many Humboldters today. So from that realization, she and I started talking about, okay, we've got to do some of these books about the history of the mills and the lumber industry in the county. Originally, we were only going to do one book, but as we were researching and picking out the photographs to use and all of that sort of thing, we quickly came to the realization that it's such a huge topic, it needs more than one book. So our first one was just titled Mills of Humboldt County, and that came out in 2015, and it covered from about 1850 up until around 1910. So this book that just came out a few weeks ago, Mills of Humboldt County, 1910 to 1945, is the sequel to that first one and covers the early 20th century time period. Now, once again, we had originally intended there to only be two books. This current one was going to go 1910 all the way to about 1980 or so thereabouts. And then, of course, in the research process, once again, we discovered there's way too much. It's too big a story. There's so much that we need to talk about. So we convinced the publisher, Arcadia Publishing, to agree to do three books. So this one's the middle book, and then hopefully there will be a third going 1945 to 1985 or so. That's if this second book sells well enough to make the publisher happy. So we do hope it sells well so we can do the third book.
Okay. Well, you know, something you said reminded me of something that Eric Hollenbeck from the Blue Ox Millworks said once. He said, you know, now we are educating people about the timber culture, but he said, you know, back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we were the culture, and it really has changed a lot here. The question that kind of spurred the three books, you know, it sounds like it was talking about how do you actually chop down and mill, you know, these gigantic 2,000-year-old trees.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of innovation in Humboldt County around actually milling such large trees. What did you learn about the innovations to actually process these trees?
Yeah, a lot of that is covered in the first of the Mills of Humboldt County books because a lot of these are inventions that came in early in the timber industry here. One of them that's best most well-known is the Dolbear steam donkey or a steam engine that was invented by John Dolbear, who was the co-owner of the Dolbear and Carson Lumber Company with the famous William Carson, owner of the Carson Mansion. So he invented this kind of stationary steam engine that enabled them to hook logs up to cables and move them out through the steam power out of the woods, whereas previously they'd had to be hauled out by ox teams and that sort of thing. So Dolbear Street in Eureka is named after him. So when you drive down Dolbear Street, you can think of the Dolbear steam donkey, as they called those engines. Also, the Civil War had a big impact on the timber industry out here, because the stronger steel that they had developed, various metalworking techniques that they developed in the war to create stronger cannons and that sort of thing, they were able to then transfer that into the saws that were used in the mills out here, stronger saws. So we saw a lot of developments like that, where the larger history is coming into play in our local economy here.
Well, and your book focuses on 1910 to 1945. How was the logging industry changing during that time period around the First World War and the Depression? And
one of the big changes was that trucks were coming in. Previously, it had been railroad was the main way after the ox teams and the steam donkeys and all of that. You were moving your logs out of the woods to the mills by rail. But trucks and tanks and so forth played a big role in World War One, and so then those technologies were then getting transferred into the woods and starting to use trucks to get into areas that the rail hadn't been able to get into before. Also, in World War One, of course, a lot of the men were serving in the military, and so some of the older men who wouldn't typically have been out in the woods were getting jobs to fill the places of the younger men who were off in the service. And also women got a lot of jobs in the timber industry during the war. There was an all-woman crew working at the cigar box factory in Scotia that was part of the Pacific Lumber Company. Other changes in the early 20th century, a lot of the companies started to be run rather differently. They had been more focused on, kind of almost a paternal interaction between company owners and the workers. It was maybe a lot better for a lot of the workers in the 19th century, whereas in the early 20th century, some of these company owners, particularly Hammond of the Hammond Lumber Company, he kind of gets the reputation as the sort of melodrama villain of our local timber industry, in terms of he was particularly interested in maximizing his profits and not so interested in the welfare of the workers. So a lot of the working conditions were decreasing even as the technology was moving ahead. So you get this kind of tension between better technology enabling you to harvest the redwoods faster, but not such good working and living conditions for a lot of the employees.
Wow. Well, and there was actually a strike in 1935 by timber workers. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, it's, of course, a huge story, and we can only give sort of a glimpse into it here, but that was one of the things that Susan and I both felt that in our research for this current book, we learned a great amount of information that we had not realized before about the strike and sort of the realities of the strike. It was a timber workers' strike that basically covered the entire Northwest coast. There were a lot of strikes going on in Washington and Oregon, and the local timber workers union did call for a strike here. Now, not very many men really answered the call for that strike, because this was right at the end of the Great Depression. A lot of the mills had closed down because of the Depression, and so a lot of people were already out of work, and those people who were working, a lot of them were very worried about the risk of losing their jobs. So there was not actually a very big percentage-wise response to this, the call for a strike. There were about 3,500 men working in the timber industry in Humboldt at the time, but only around 300 actually struck, and about half of those actually went back to work later while the strike was still going on.
Were they unionized for the timber workers?
They were unionized, but a lot of the company owners didn't actually recognize the unions. So they basically refused to admit that the unions existed. They wouldn't negotiate with the union leaders. And a lot of people were afraid of joining unions in case that would mean that they would be fired because of it. So that was actually one of the demands of the strikers. They were striking for shorter hours. They were striking for raise in pay to, I think, 75 cents an hour or something like that. And they were also striking for the unions to be recognized and for the company owners to actually negotiate with union leaders.
What was the outcome of the strike?
The strike basically came to an end because of a violent incident that took place on June 21st of 1935. Now, you know, as I mentioned, there had not been a very big response to the strike, and the union organizers were getting worried that this was just going to be swept under the carpet and that nothing was going to come of it. And so they wanted to, you know, do a big thing to raise publicity, raise awareness, and maybe make the strike successful. So union organizers in Eureka met and decided to just basically pick a mill at random. I don't know if they drew it out of a hat or what they did, but at random they chose the Holmes Eureka Mill on Broadway, which is where the Broadway Mall is now. And they decided that their picketers would go to that mill and stop workers from getting into the mill when they went in that day, and that this was going to be the big event that would hopefully move the strike to the next level where they would actually be negotiated with and so forth. But it actually went very badly wrong. The police turned up in order to try and disperse the picketers. And one of the policemen threw a tear gas grenade. And then some of the policemen were pulled out of their cars, and there were getting to be fist fights and throwing rocks and so forth between the police and the strikers. And then a policeman fired his gun, and it just escalated. And eventually, you know, a number of the police were beaten and injured, but three of the strikers did die. They all died of gunshot wounds. And, you know, it's a very tragic stories as you look into it. One of the men who died was actually fatally shot while he was trying to help another one who had already been injured, a 21-year-old man who had been shot through the eye. And so this other striker went to him to try and help him and was shot while he was doing that. So as a result, about 100 people were arrested. Many others who had been injured basically just sort of went into hiding for fear that they would be arrested as well. And three men died from it. And so that really was the end of the strike here locally, although throughout Washington and Oregon, other strikes were still going on throughout the summer.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's a fascinating history and yeah, when you actually look back at how things happen, there's a lot of darkness and human past. Well, I wish we had more time, but if anyone listening is interested in going to a reading and a book signing, you've got a couple of book signings for the Mills of Humboldt County coming up. Dr. Service, tell us what those.
Okay, we're coordinating with the Arts Alive events coming up. So the next Arts Alive, beginning of March, we're going to be at the Clark Museum that evening doing a signing. And then we'll be at, Arcata, I think, on their Arts Arcata. We'll be at the Northtown Books. We've also got an event early April with the Historical Society at their monthly talk that they have at the public library. We'll be doing a talk on our book. And then we're at the May Arts Alive. We're at the Booklegger in Eureka.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Alexandra Service, of the curator of the Fortuna Depot Museum and co-author of The Mills of Humboldt County, 1910 to 1945, along with many other books on local history. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.